pain. So it's a question exactly what was going on here.
So some interpret the Parshat Pshat that they were fighting with each other who's going to be born first. Whoever's born first is going to be the Bchor is going to have the big schus to be the older one. And then Rivka went to the Novi and she heard the news that Rav Yavot Zoir, whoever is going to be born first is going to have to be subservient to the younger one. So then they stopped fighting who's going to be born first. And then it says that when they finally came out, when they finally were born, how does it say? Yaakov came out second. The Yorach Ezes Bakei Vesel. He dafke wanted to hold on to the heel. He didn't want to be born first. First they were fighting who's going to be born first. And then when they heard that whoever's going to be born first is going to lose out, and then Yaakov bedafke held on to the Ekev Avesel. A lot of times in life people are fighting to get ahead. Everyone and people cheat on exams in order to get the award, in order to get a spot in graduate school, in order to get this, in order to get that. A lot of times the one who gets ahead is going to be the one who's going to suffer because of Ayin Hara or whatever. Sometimes it's a Nigzar Min HaShamayim that is going to be Rav Yavod Tzor. So it's not kedai to fight. Whatever a person deserves is going to come his way. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a drosha commenting on this pasuk by Yisrotzu Tzohabona Bekirbo that many try to interpret the phenomenon of anti-Semitism that is based on sociological considerations, based on economic considerations. And all the explanations always don't make any sense. They usually contradict each other. The pasuk says that before they were born, they were fighting with each other. Yisroel tzabon mikirbon. Anti-Semitism is something somehow that's built into the world. Halacha b'yadu v'sheisav v'saneliyayku. Why is that? That there's Kodesh and there's Chol in the world, and the Kodesh and the Chol are a contradiction. Contradiction in terms. The Gemara says that Shor Psulei HaMikdashim, when a korban gets a mum and yepoida, so that's called Shor Psulei HaMikdashim. So the Gemara says in the end of Chulin, in the end of Makkas, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to use it to pull your wagon. It's an Isar of Kilayim. What kind of a din of Kilayim? So the Gemara says Guf Echur Hu, it's one animal. V'Hakas V'Asor Kishnei Gufim. The Halacha considers it as if it's two animals. Well, how is it considered two animals? So Rashi interprets that it's Kodesh and Chol. That the Shor Psulei HaMikdashim, it was Kodesh, you were poda it. It still retains partial Kedusha. The din is that it still has an Isa Giza Vavoida on it. The Gemara says that if you do Giza Vavoida on the Shor Psulei HaMikdashim, L'acha Shuhumam V'nivdeh, so the Gemara says that you like it. You get Malkus, means it retains the full Kedusha with respect to that. The Gemara says that you can make Tmura. If I say Harezu Tachazu on the animal after it got a moment, after you appoint it, so you can make tmura. You're not allowed to. It's a prohibition. You get malchus if you make tmura. But the thing is that it's teifes tmura. And but there's no iser of shchut echutz. You shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. If it's a chatos, it's no longer restricted. Davke de zichri kuna. So it's kodesh and chol. So Rashi says that's the reason why it's kilayim. That Kodesh and Chol are a contradiction, that's Kilayim. Taisa says they never heard of such a thing. But if you have a field that belongs to Hegdish and a field that belongs to Hedyot, and they're all growing grain, the exact same thing, grain. So you say you have to be marked from the border. If you have on one side you have grain, one side you have grapes, so that's Kilay HaKer. But if you have grain and grain on both sides, but one side is Kodesh and one side is Chol, so you have a din that you have to be Mekah HaRchoke, there is no such din. So Taisus Tainus against Rashi. There is no such halacha that Kodesh and Chol constitute Kilayim. So Taisus has a different interpretation. That the pasuk says, "Hatam avto yachdi vechlenu katzvi v'chu ayol." Because I saw shnei gufim. That pasuk in Chumash is talking about Psulei HaMikdashim shehumam uveniftu. So the pasuk refers to the animal that was a korban and you were paid it because you got a mum kavua. It's referred to as tzvi v'ayol. So tzvi v'ayol, a blend of a tzvi v'ayol, is kilayim. That's what it means. Guf echadu akos v'aso shnei guf. But similar to the way Rashi says that kodesh and chol is kilayim. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik said over here. There's always going to be a contradiction between kodesh and chol. By Yisrotzu Tzahamon and Mikirbo, Yankov was destined to have Kiddush and Esau was destined to be Chol. And by definition, there's always a contradiction. Two different things. They can't blend in together. Rashi quotes a totally different interpretation. Not by Yisrotz, they were fighting with each other. different interpretations in the Medrash. Rashi says not by source that they were fighting, that when Rivka passed by the Beis Medrash of Shem V'Yever, so Yankif wanted to jump out. And when she passed by Beis Avodah Zarah, so Esav wanted to jump out. So they say the name of Rav Elvel HaSalvechik. Why did Yankif want to jump out in order to learn Beis Medrash of Shem V'Yever? But the Gemara has a tradition that every Jewish baby has a private shiur. The Malach is teaching the baby Kol HaTorah Kulo when he's inside the mother's womb. So isn't the Malach a better Rebbe than Shem V'Yever? Stam is a much better Rebbe. So they say the name of Rav Elvela. Even if you have the best Rebbe in the world, but if your Chavrus is a misery like Esau, so it's better to learn by the miserable Rebbe, better to learn by Shem V'Yever than to learn by the Malach if your Chavrus is going to be like Esau. Okay, whatever. So Rashi quotes this Medrash that not by Yisroel, it's Abonim Bekir, they were fighting with each other, that the babies, when it comes to a certain point, they start jumping around. And she couldn't understand what's going on. She felt as if she thought there's only one baby. So how can it be? The baby's jumping out to worship Abed Azar. The baby's jumping out to learn in the yeshiva. That's terrible. So then when the Novi told her, Shnei goy mevitnech, Tzvei dinim, like when you have a contradiction. So it's not Tzvei dinim. So they told him two babies. One is going to be an Abed Azar, one is going to be a learner. So then she was calmed down. To have one person who's a big Talmid Chacham, who's Abed Azar, to have Orba Choshech, Mishtamshet Berbuvia, that's a tragedy. This Rav Elvela Soloveitchik's, this is his harangue against the Mizrahi Rabban. That they belong to the Mizrahi, they know how to learn, that's terrible. Havar b'choshem shtamshim b'rbuvi. Would have been better if you have one as an Eved Avod Azar completely and the other one is learning. That's okay. Rivka didn't feel bad about that. There are going to be two babies. One is a worship Avod Azar, one is going to be learning, that's okay. But she thought as one baby has Tova Ramu, Ravim Zebezeh, that's a tragedy. The Radak in his commentary on these psukim, there is a commentary of Radak on Chumash as well as on Navi. So the Radak points out, when a baby is first born, it doesn't have the ability to grab hold of anything. This was a miracle. That when Yankee came out, he was grabbing hold. It takes a couple of months, I think, till the baby knows how to hold on. You put your finger in the baby's hand, it takes quite a while till the baby knows how to hold on. So this was really a nest. What is it supposed to represent? The Baruch Shalom doesn't do a nest for nothing. So what was the purpose of this nest? Yodo Chezes Bakei Veso. So the Midrashim say, Lo Mandik Rishmo Chazir Shosid HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHachazir Ol Yisrael. What does that mean? So some of the Mepharshim on the Chumash quote this Medrash. The Arach Haim talks about this Medrash in Chumash Vayikra. So some of them understand Kipshuto. Why is the Chazir called the Chazir? Because Lo Asid Lava, the Jews will be allowed to eat Chazir. So they ask, how can it be? But the Torah, the Dine HaTorah apply Lo Adol Yom Ha'Elamim. The Rambam considers this one of the Yud Gimel Ikori Hamuna. Shezos HaTorah Lo Asim Machlefes. How can it be? So some interpret, no. Oseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir L'Yisrael. The Chazir will develop Malagera. Now, Ba'olam HaZeh it only has Mafis Parsa. Lo Asim Lo, it's going to be Malagera. That's how some interpret. But the Rishonim already talk about this Medrash, and they say that Medrash isn't referring to the pork. Medrash is referring to Esav. Lama nikru shmo chazir means the rabbis always refer to Esav as chazir. Rashi, on this week's Sedra, quotes the comment of the Medrash. It says that Esav makes believe he's such a frumat tzaddik, yichar semena chazir. Pasuk says when Esav reached the age of 60, then he got married. Why? So he said, my father got married, Yitzchak got married at 40. When he reached the age of 40, then he got married. Why? Because my father got married when he was 40. Hey, Yitzchak, Berabayim Shalom. My father got married when he was 40. I'll do the same as my father got married when I was 40. Yeah, but his father didn't run around with girls before he got married. He was a holy tzaddik. This guy, Esau, was sleeping with all the women, attacking all the women. Rashi quotes the Medrash. So he puts out an act as if he's a frumat tzaddik, he's following the father's footsteps. So Rashi quotes the Lashon of the Medrash. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Yichar semena chazir miyar." So Esav is like a chazir that he sticks out his hoops to show you, see, I'm kosher. I have mafis parsa. The chazir only has one simintar; doesn't have the malagera. So Esav, in the Talmudic terminology, represents the Christians. That the Christians claim that they're the twin religion of the Jewish people. Yankiv and Esav were twins. So just like they were twins, so you can have a twin religion, the sister religion of the Jewish religion. Truth of the matter, we have an offshoot of the Jewish religion, a branch of the Jewish religion. How can it be a branch? One is Avodah Zarah and one is a religion. It's not the same. Like the Rambam writes in one of the letters, I think in the Geras Hashmat, Rambam talks about the Umas Olam claim that they have the true religion, and they say they have all kinds of animamins and so on. So he says, Amashal Ma'adava Daimeh, you have a statue of a person, and then you have a real person standing next to the statue. So if you look, let's say they have over here, in Fort Trine Park, they have George Washington on a horse. So if you have a real George Washington sitting on a real horse, standing next to the statue, you can't tell the difference between the real McCoy and the fake. This is a human being, he touches his body, he's for real, he's warm, and the other one is a cement. The other one is a fake, it's make-believe. So the Rambam says, if you put the true religion next to the false religion, they really look alike. That's ridiculous. What, the twin religion, the sister religion, not sisters. One is a Das Emes and one is a Das Al Sheker. It's a fake. So that's why the Christian religion is always referred to, of the Avodah Zorah, not referred to as Esav, and not referred to as Chazir. They don't even try to claim that they're imitating the Jewish religion. But the Christians claim that they have a Judeo-Christian tradition, as if there's a connection between the two. And they claim to have a Shaychas. The truth is that there is no Shaychas. So that's why they compare the Christians to Chazir, that the Chazir has one simitare, and he acts as if he's really kosher. So that's what the Medrash means. Lomenik v'shmo Chazir. Why did the rabbis always refer to the Christians as Chazir? That Boilam Hazeh, the last few centuries, the Christians are controlling the whole world, and Lo Si Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the Malchus to the Jewish people. And that's what this represented. The Yodav HaChezes, Ba'akev Esav, represents the fact that after Esav will collapse, after the control that the Christians have all over so much of the world will collapse, then the Jewish people will have the Malchus, will have the Melech HaMashiach, and he'll be ruling over the whole world. But it's not, Oser HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chazir L'Yisrael, is not referring to the Chazir that will be allowed to eat pork, Lo Si Lo. That's how the Rishonim interpret. The Parshin continues that there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, Milbad HaRov HaYushan HaShehoyah B'mei Abraham. And then Yitzchak was the man who always followed traditions. He's going to go. He went to Abimelech Melech Plishtim Gerora. Rashi quotes the Medrash on his way to go to Egypt. Why? He's going to do exactly what his father did. That's what the Pesukim say later, that after Avraham Avinu died, so the Plishtim blocked up, they stuffed up all of the Be'eros, all of the wells that Avraham Avinu had dug. So Yitzchak made it his job to go dig over all of those wells. And he gave them the names, exactly the same names that his father had called them. So in the Sefer Ksava Kabbalah, he quotes from the Zohar. Ksava Kabbalah lived in Germany. So he doesn't want to say he's quoting from the Zohar. It wouldn't fly. So he always quotes the Mechilta de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the Zohar. So he quotes from the Zohar. He can always tell, whatever, because Mechilta Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is always in Aramaic. It's always in Aramaic. So obviously it's a dead giveaway that it's from the Zohar. So the Zohar comments on this Pasuk. The Pasuk means to say that Yitzchak is the man who follows Masorah. He does everything exactly the same way his father does. He digs the same wells and he gives the same names. Everything exactly the same. And when there's a famine, so he's going to go down to Egypt just like his father did. Then the Rabbanu Shalom tells him that that's a mistake. That if you're going to do that, that's not going to be exactly the same as your father did. Your father was not a korban, so he was permitted to go to Chutz Lord, but you were offered as a korban on the occasion of the Akedah. And it's not that there was a mistake, that Avram misunderstood the Tzivui, and he brought a different korban instead, and the whole thing was wrong. No. The Medrash says on the Pasuk in the end of the Teichachem, in Parshas B'chukosai, it says, V'zachart es b'si Yaakov, v'af es b'si Yitzchak, v'af es b'si Abraham eskor, v'horetz eskor. So Rashi Anat Pasuk in the end of B'chukosai quotes the Medrash, how come the verb Zechira is mentioned in connection with Yaakov, in connection with Abraham, and not in connection with Yitzchak? Zecharti is Bisi Yaakov, after is Bisi Yitzchak, no verb, after is Bisi Abraham Ezkar. How come it only says the verb, it could have said the verb once, and it would have gone on all three? How come it says Zechira by Yaakov and by Abraham, not by Yitzchak? So Zechira means I remember something that's not in front of me. But if the thing is Mam Shanda by nose, you don't have to remember it. So the Medrash has an expression there. Rashi quotes, Yitzchak doesn't need Zechira. Afra Tzavra Munach Agabiham is Bech. The ashes of Yitzchak, when he was offered on the Akedah, when you burn a carbon, so the ashes are there on the Mizbech in front of the Rebbe Shalom under God's nose. He doesn't have to remember Yitzchak, he's right there. What do you mean the ashes are there? The whole thing was a mistake, he's never offered as a carbon. So you see that it's not so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avraham Avinu to be Magdish, to designate Yitzchak as a carbon. So he said, this. He declared him, he designated him as a carbon oiler. Then the din usually is that when you have a carbon oiler roaming around, you have to be makriv it on the mizbeach. Mishnah is like that in Shkolim. If you walk in Yerushalayim certain seasons of the year, you assume that Rav, and you find an animal that's lost, and you don't know what the nature of the animal is. Some seasons of the year, you assume that Rav and the animals are shlamim, so you makriv it automatically as a shlam. Some seasons of the year, you should assume Rav animals are oila, so you should be makriv it as a oila, even though it's not your animal. We assume that this is an oila, this is a shlamim, so everyone who finds it has an obligation to be makriv it. So Avraham Avinu thought that if Yitzchak is a carbon oiler, so I have to be makriv him, even though the Baruch Hashem didn't command me to, but it's self-understood. If he commanded me to designate him as a carbon oiler, so mitzvasu shala carbon oiler as he carved. So then the Baruch Hashem said, no, there was an ayalach anechas basrach b'kainov, you should be offered that on the mizbeach, and the hakrava, all the avoid is done to the ayalach, considered as if they were done to Yitzchak. So the ashes of the ayalach considered as if they were the ashes of Yitzchak. That's what it means in the Medrash, afer tzavra munach agabi hamizbeach. So over here we have a din that karbonis, every carbon has a zman and a makam. If you take the carbon chutzl makam, it becomes nifsal b'yotze. If you leave it chutzl zman, it becomes nifsal b'lino. So the zman of the karbonis, the makam of the karbonis, only sets in after the first avodah, after shchita. Before you do shchita, the animal can roam around all over. It's not nifsal b'yotze. So here, the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yitzchak, you didn't understand. Your father had the right to leave Eretz Yisrael. He was never designated as a carbon. But you were designated as a carbon, so you're not allowed to go to chutzlos. You'll become nifsal b'yotze. Aye, but this whole din of nifsal b'yotze only sets in after the first avoda is done. They never got to first base. They never even did the first avoda, the shechita. So the answer is no. The avodas that were done to the ayalach anechas basrach mekan were considered as if they were done to the to Yitzchak. And apparently he had the stat. That's what the Medrash seems to assume. He had the status of a korban la'acha shchita, which can become nifsal b'yotze. A lot of times people think that they're carrying on the tradition from their forefathers, but if you live in different circumstances, so if you do exactly the same thing, it's not the same. Let's say, my grandfather was one of the founders of the Aguda. He was not. But let's say, my grandfather was one of the founders of the Aguda. So therefore, I belong to the Aguda, also family tradition. My grandfather was one of the founders of Agudah before Hakamas HaMedina. Maybe after Hakamas HaMedina, my grandfather would have joined the Mizrahi. Or maybe my grandfather was one of the founders in the Mizrahi, and then after he sees what turned out in Medina, maybe he would run to join them into Ekarta. What do you mean, the family tradition? The whole world is changing, everything is changing. Whoever, let's say, whoever didn't belong to Mizrahi before Melchemet Shesh HaTayamim, maybe after Melchemet Shesh HaTayamim, it's time that everybody should join the Mizrahi, everybody should leave the Mizrahi, whatever. So you can't say you're following the family tradition. There's a new Shaila. Is that your family tradition? That you belong to the Aguda even after Hakamas HaMedina, and even after Melchemet Shesh HaTayamim, and even after this, and even after that. So that's a decision that you're making. You can't pin the blame on your grandfather. You're deciding that nothing changed. Everything changes. It could be a change in one direction or the other direction. People make mistake a lot of times. They think they're following the family tradition. It's not necessarily the family tradition. We all have to follow traditions. The Chasam Sefer uses a lashon very often. Chodesh Asam and Atayrah. We don't change anything. And he even emphasizes that we have certain minhagim, we have certain practices that are really very questionable. We have certain kulas, and we really don't understand why we make a lot of these things. It really should be nasa. But he says, we stick to our traditions. Chodesh Asam and Atayrah, Bein Lahokal, Bein Lahachman, we stick to our traditions. And the Chasam Sefer and the Vilna Gaon was, in a certain sense, just the opposite. The Vilna Gaon held that everything is open to investigation. Just because our forefathers have been practicing the religion like this for centuries, you have to look into the Gemara again to see, is that what it says in the Gemara? Just because it says in Shulchan Aruch one way, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to follow the Shulchan Aruch. That's Rav Chaim Balozhin writes. In one of the Tshuvas, there's a Sefer, Shalos HaTshuvas, Chutam Shulosh. Chutam Shulosh, there's more than one Chutam Shulosh. But there's a famous one that has the tshuvas by the three Rashi Yeshiva from Valozhin. So the first third is by Rab Chaim Valozhin as tshuvas, and then they have Rab Lezer Yitche, that was his son-in-law, and Rab Hillel, two sons-in-law of Rab Chaim Valozhin. They were Rashi Yeshiva and Valozhin after him. People usually read only Rab Chaim Valozhin as tshuvas, but that's one third of the sefer. So one of the famous tshuvas Rab Chaim Valozhin has is that he heard from the Vilna Goyen that when you work out a din and you figure it out based on the Gemara and the Rishonim what the din should be, then you look in Shulchan Aruch, lo and behold, it says not the way you figured it out. You're not permitted to follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. And if you follow what, if you figure out the din, is not like, you're not allowed to follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And if you follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's like a Dayan has a din Torah, and he favors this man because he's rich, or he favors him because he's poor, or because he's a president of the Kehila, or because of Dika Balabas, how can you paskin against him? He said, there's an Isa of Lassisa Fonim Ba Mishpat. So here also, when you paskin a Shaila, you're not allowed to paskin in favor of Rabbi Yosef Karo because he was a prominent rabbi. If he's wrong, he's wrong, you got to paskin against him. Yeah, the Vilna Gaon, okay, the Vilna Gaon was convinced. He was very convinced of his Shita, so he could say, he's convinced that the Shulchan Aruch is wrong, he's not going to follow. Most people are not so convinced that what they said is 100% accurate. If they'll find that it says the Shulchan Aruch not so, they'll say, okay, so I must have made a mistake. Sure. He's right, the Vilna Gaon is right. If a person is really fully convinced, he went through the topic so many times, absolutely convinced. So the Vilna Gaon held that everything is up for investigation. So he, a lot of times he did not follow what it said in Shulchan Aruch. But the Vilna Gaon didn't have such a big following. While he was alive, he had Talmidim who would swear by him. They held that he was like an angel. He didn't have such a big following. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik published an interesting essay where he points out that today, after the Shoah, there are more people following the Hanhogas of the Groa, even though we didn't learn by the Vilna Gaon. He died already 200 years ago. More than during the lifetime of the Vilna Gaon. Because during the lifetime of Vilna Gaon, the people had a masor of how to observe Yiddishkeit. So they followed the masor. Either Vilna Gaon said it's not right. So the Gazak. So the Vilna Gaon followed his shittas, but the other people didn't. But now, after the Shoah, there were so many other Shoah in Europe. There was Haskalah and so many other things going on that the whole tradition of observance has collapsed. So no one really knows what is the tradition. So people look in Svarim to figure out what the tradition. If you're looking in Svarim trying to figure out what the best pshat in the Gemara is, the best pshat usually is the Vilna Gaon. So that's why today there are more people who follow the Vilna Gaon than during his lifetime. So Lemaisa, you have to have some kind of a happy medium between these two. Even the people who claim to be following the Chasam Sofer, even the Hungarians, they parrot the words of the Chasam Sofer, Chodesh Osman HaTorah, they don't really follow that 100%. They also make changes. They have a lot of changes. On some, they make a decision when they're going to say Chodesh Osman HaTorah, when they're not going to say Chodesh Osman HaTorah. They're also making decisions. So we don't really have people who follow all the way the Chasam Sofer. We don't have people who are prepared to investigate everything. Everything is open for investigation, like the Vilna Gaon says. We sort of make a compromise. There are some things that we follow family traditions. We know what the traditions are. There are other things that people learn in the yeshiva. So they pick up certain minhagim from the yeshiva, which are clearly not in accordance with their family minhagim. Rabbi Gifter was once telling us that when he went to Europe to learn in the yeshiva, he went there after high school. He was born in America. So that was the style then. Some of the parents would send their children to learn in Europe. So he said, his father always said Kiddush standing. So he said when he learned in the yeshiva, so he followed the yeshiva practice that they said, by chula they said standing up, and then for bar piyah go up and they sat down. Then he says, years later, he decided to follow the other practice that they only stand when you say Yom HaShishi by Chul HaShemayim, Yud Kei Vavke. Rashi Tevez Yud Kei Vavke, and he would sit down in the middle of Aichul. Then he says, and years later, before he got sick, years later, he sat from the beginning to the end. He went through all the minhagim. People change a lot of things. We don't always follow the family traditions. The question, what happened to the minhagim? How come they're not all binding? Or maybe the Abani, he can't budge. We don't assume like that.
Does everybody think that Hasidic minhagim are binding at all on Ashkenazi
Shkenazi? Hasidic children a lot of times go to learn in Litvish yeshivas. The minhagim are binding out all of those who belong to that kehillah. So it's like the guy converted. It's like, let's say a girl is a Sephardia, marries an Ashkenazi. So she joined a different kehillah now. You can't say the wife belongs to one kehillah and the husband belongs to another kehillah. It doesn't make sense. See, here, a lot of times Hasidic children learn in a Litvish yeshiva. They learn in Brisk. So what do you mean? They associate, they identify with that group. They learn in Mir Yeshiva and Yerushalayim. So if they identify with a different group, so they're not part of the other group. So it's like they converted. They join the other. So the menhagim of the other group are binding. And then if they'll float on further, they'll join yet a third group. And so they're different people during their lifetime. Join different groups, they identify with different groups, and they move on in life. So that's what happened over here, that Yitzchak thought that he's following in the tradition of his father. He thought that he was following everything. Then the Baruch Shalom told him that this one would be a violation of the family tradition. That if Avraham Avinu would have been a carbon, he would not have left Eretz Yisrael. That's why I pointed out, the Gemara says that when they conquered the city Yericho in the days of Yishuv ben Nun, so Yishuv ben Nun was matal acherim on Yericho. And then Ochan violated the acherim, and the whole Jewish community was punished because of that. So when they waged the next war in Ai, so the Jews lost the war. So Yishuv ben Nun didn't understand, how could we lose the war? The Rabbi Shalom promised we're going to win all the war, going to win all the wars with our hands down. We won't have to worry at all. So the Rabbi Shalom tells them, it's your fault. That's how the Gemara interprets in Sanhedrin. Your fault. Who told you to make a cherem on Yericho? So the Marsha, yes, on the Gemara. What do you mean it's my fault? The Rebbe made a cherem. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, every time he fought a war, he made a cherem. And this character often violated every cherem in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything was a repeat of history. What is it my fault? I did exactly what my Rebbe did. So the Marsha quotes that Kasha. So he says, no, the Teretz is, it's not doing exactly the same as Moshe Rabbeinu, because in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was not yet a din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. Moshe saw this Hayarden and stood a Hagriz Maharevo, and they accepted all the brachas to Klala. So then the Gemara says the din of Orvus set in. So once you have a din of Orvus, and it no longer makes any sense to be Matal Acherim. One person's going to sin, and the whole tzibur will be held responsible for his sin. The whole tzibur will be punished. We lost the war at Ai because of Ochan. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there wasn't din of Orvus, so it made sense to make Acherim. So a lot of times we think that we're doing exactly the same as our forefathers, and it's not the same because you live under different circumstances and guns are different. When I was growing up in Hungary, I went around with payas. My father had me go with long payas. So now I live in the five towns, and I'm going to follow family tradition. My children are going to go with payas. It's not exactly the same. When I went in Hungary with payas, all the children went with payas. I fit in with everybody else. Now, my children are going to go with payas. No one else is going to go with payas. They're going to be laughing at them. It's going to be in ganz indifferent. Maybe you should. Maybe you should have a children, but you can't say that you're following the family tradition. Maybe that's not the family tradition. You have to ask a shayla. Is that still considered following the family tradition or not? The pasuk says that when Yitzchak was in Gror, he thought he's going to stay there temporarily till he goes to Mitzrayim, and then Baruch Shalom told him, no, you have to stay over here. Al ter Mitzrayim, Shchem Baretz Hashem Ma'ilecha, Gur Baretz Hazos, he should stay here. Then the Baruch Shalom tells him, Kiluchal Zarecha Atenes Kol Haratz Yisrael. He's giving him this part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos understands that Avraham Avinu was only given part of Eretz Yisrael. He walked around the borders and he was going to Eretz Yisrael. When Yitzchak came down to Gror, the Rebbe Shalom gave him Gush Katif. He gave him the whole area over there. Before it didn't belong to him. And then the pasuk says, "Vayizra Yitzchak Baretz Ahi." Rashi says it wasn't Eretz Yisrael proper, Eretz Zayin Amim, but Eretz Ahi. It just became Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Shalom just gave it to Yitzchak Avinu. But it wasn't as choshev as the part of Eretz Yisrael that was already given to Yitzchak. So despite the fact that it was only a second-rate Eretz Yisrael, and it was a year of famine, nothing was going to grow well. So he found Mea Shorim. He found 100 times as much as he expected would grow. How did he know what to expect, how much was going to grow? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he made an omed lemaisris. He was estimating how much maises does he think he's going to give. So that's a chiddush. The Yitzchak Yifrish maises. That's what the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim quotes this medrash on this pasuk. He says the medrash has this whole development of the Torah. That originally Adam Rishon was given six mitzvahs and he wasn't permitted to eat meat, so he wasn't given the din of Eivim and Achai. And after the Mabul, Sandoach was permitted to eat meat, Kiera Kesem from the Sati Lechem is called, and then he was prohibited to eat Eivim and Achai, so now it's seven mitzvahs beninah. From that time on, it's known as the seven mitzvahs. Originally used to be six, and after the days of Nech, it became seven mitzvahs. And then the Rambam quotes this medrash, that that's the way the world was going till the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given the additional mitzvah bismillah. Yitzchak was given not the obligation to be mafresh maises, Yitzchak kifresh maises. He was given the opportunity to be mafresh maises. The Pashto says you can't be. It's, I'll buy 10 gemaras, I'll be mafresh maises. It's not chal. So you have to be given, it has to be tevel. So Yitzchak was given the opportunity by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't obligated, he wasn't itzdavet to be mafresh maises. He was given the opportunity to be mafresh maises. So he grabbed at the opportunity. And he made an oimid lemaisus, and then Yankov was given the mitzvah of Giran Hashem. So that's what Rashi quotes on this pasuk, despite the fact that it wasn't Eretz Yisrael. The original Eretz Yisrael was only second-rate Eretz Yisrael, and it was a year of famine. Nonetheless, it grew 100 times as much as he thought was going to grow, and he made the oimid to calculate how much maisus he's going to give. That's the Rambam quotes this medrash. So the Ravid is masking on the Rambam. What do you mean? Yitzchok was the first one who was mafresh maisus. It says that after the war between the four kings and the five kings, and the four kings won the war, then Avraham Avinu went to save Lot, who was captured, so he beat out the four kings. So it says he gave, and then it says, that Avraham Avinu gave Maisa Ksofim to Malkit Tzedek Melech Sholem. Rashi quotes that that's shame. He had yeshiva, shame v'yev. He made a donation to his yeshiva, he gave Maisa. See, Avraham Avinu already gave Maisa. So what does the Medrash only say? The Rabbit's Kasha is Kasha on the Medrash, not Kasha on the Ramah. I'm just Matik the Medrash. Why does the Ramah quote the Medrash that Yitzchok is Hifish Maises? He was the first one who was Mafish Maises. Don't you see that Avram is already Mafish Maises? So the Radvaz on the side of the Rambam says, Mistama the Teretz is, Avram Avinu gave Maisek Sofim. Maisek Sofim has nothing to do with Maisek. Maisek Sofim is Tzedakah. That's a different mitzvah. And over here, Yitzchok Hifrish Maisers, he was Mafrish Maisers from the Tvua that grew, from the Paris that grew in Eretz Yisrael. That's a very obvious terror. So what did the Rabbit think? What did the Rabbit think that he had a kasha over here? That how come the Rambam quotes the Medrash that the first one who was Mafrish Maisers was Yitzchok, but Avram is also Mafrish Maisers. So apparently it's the Rabbit understands that Maisek Sofim is a din of Maisa Oni. That's how the Ravid Taka writes. We have the Hasogas HaRavid on the Bal Hamor. They learned B'chavrusa and each one wrote Hasogas on the other one, Sefer. So the Bal Hamor has Hasogas on the Bal HaNefesh LaHaRavid and the Ravid has Hasogas on the whole Sefer Hamor. So in the end of Chulin, so we have on much of Chulin, we have the Hasogas HaRavid on the Bal Hamor. They found the manuscript about 80 years ago and it was printed in Eretz Yisrael. The end of Chulin, the manuscript is missing, but this we happen to have had this before they found the manuscript, because in the Sefer Kafta Beferach by one of the Balei HaTosfos who moved to Eretz Yisrael, one of the Rishonim, so he quotes this from the Kosuv Shom, from the Ravid in the Hasagas on the Bal Hamor at the end of Chulin, and he talks about Hafroshas Maisvis, and he writes, the Ravid writes there, as if Maisa Ksofim is a form of Maisa Oni, the different opinions. So some hold that when you give Maisa Ksofim, it has to be given Davke Taniyim. That's one opinion in Shulchan Aruch. The common practice is not so. Let's say a person earns $100,000 a year and he's going to give Maisa Ksofim at $10,000. So does he give it, has to give all the $10,000 to support the poor? Or can he use some of the money for the shulim, for the mikveh, for the yeshivas? So some Rishonim insist Maisa Ksofim is Maisa Oni. You can only give it Maisa Oni, only goes to the poor. Shulif and Yeshiva can't come and take Maserani. When they want to make a mikveh, they want to make a shul, they can't take Maserani and buy a Sefer Torah. They can't take Maserani. So some Rishonim hold, that's how the Rabbit holds like that also. The Maisa Ksofim is not a shir in the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's considered like Maserani, has to go to the Anim. So apparently that's the Rabbit's kasha over here. The Rabbit asked the kasha, why does the Medrash say, the Rambam quotes the Medrash, that the first one who was here for Shmaisis was Yitzchak. It's not to Avram gave Maisa Ksofim, and Maisa Ksofim is a form of Maisa Rani. So mechudish dika understanding. Halacha l'maisa, we don't follow that sheet. We say you give maisa ksafim to all charitable institutions. It should add up to maisa.
They apply to maisa ksafim?
Yeah, in Shulchan Aruch they talk about maisa ksafim, sure. However much money one earned, if he's able to, if he can afford it, he should give maisa ksafim. So there are three opinions in Yeridah. One opinion is that it's a din men haTorah. He's learned that from a pasuk. The Babli never has this. The Tosfos in the first parak in Tainus quotes the Sifrei. Darshan's on this pasuk in Parshas Rei. Aser te aser. As kol tuah zaracha yotze asar shana shana. Aser te aser. The double lashon is marbe maisa ksafim. Not only what grows in the field, the revach that you earned, if I make interest on my money that's sitting in the bank, or I made profit in my business this year, so you have to give maisa ksafim to tzedakah. So some understand that it's a real drashik mur deraisa. Most assume that's not the accepted opinion. Most assume that it's not a din deraisa, and many assume that it's a din derabbanan. There's a long taz in Hilchas Tzedakah quotes these two opinions. And the generally accepted opinion is that it's not even a din mederabbanan, it's only a minig. It's a midas chasidus that we recommend. If a person can afford it. If a person can't afford it, there's nothing to discuss. He doesn't give it. But if he can afford it, he should give maisik sofim. If a person can't afford maisik sofim, but he still has a mitzvah to give tzedakah, so that's a gemara in Bava Basra in the first parak. The gemara says that, based on a pasuk in Ezra and Nehemiah, I think, pasuk says you have to give a minimum of Shlishis HaShekel. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchas Tzedakah in Reish Nun Aleph, if a person doesn't give Shlishis HaShekel every year, he's not yotze the mitzvah of Tzedakah. Shlishis HaShekel is unrelated to Machzah Shekel. Machzah Shekel is for the purpose of funding the Karbanis Tzibur. That's a different thing. Shlishis HaShekel is for the sake of the mitzvah of Tzedakah. The Shach writes, the Shach lived in Vilna in the 1600s, middle of the 1600s. So he writes that when he lived in Vilna, the minig was that the Gabbai would walk around with the Pushka only on Monday and Thursdays. So he wonders, why is that? What Monday and Thursday is more mesugel for giving tzedakah? So he thought about it for a while and he came up with the following explanation, that if you give the smallest coin that existed then in Vilna, a penny in America, so if you give every Monday and Thursday, sometimes Monday and Thursday is going to be Yontif, Yom Kippur. So if you give every Monday and Thursday, you will have given a shlishis hashekel. So maybe that's why they had this minig. That if every person would give each day when the Gabbai goes around the smallest coin, he will be in fulfillment of the minimum din of Shlishis HaShekel. But then, if a person can afford it, so then he has to give more than Shlishis HaShekel. A multimillionaire is going to give a Shlishis HaShekel, it's not Yaitse. There's certain mitzvahs that everybody does exactly the same, tzitzis and tefillin, everybody does the same. Then there are certain mitzvahs where we say, Yishke Makun Siyodah Kibirkas Hashem Lakech Hashem Asanah. If a person is more intelligent than another one, so he has a chiyuv to learn Torah in greater depth than someone else. A guy's busy making a parnasa, so how much can he learn already? So he'll learn Mavasedra, so he'll be Yetzei Talmud Torah. But if a person is more learned, and he has more time. So he's not Yetzei Talmud Torah just by being Mavasedra. He has to learn more. He has to learn his Daf Yomi, or whatever he's going to learn. He has to learn more than that. So here also, tzedakah, or that pasuk, ish kemat nesiyah, it goes on the oilas riyah and the shalmi chagiga. So that's the original Mishnah in the end of the first parak in chagiga. That if a person has a lot of money, he should bring more korbanos. Ish kemat nesiyah. There's some mitzvahs that everybody does exactly the same, and other mitzvahs that it depends who the person is. There's a commentary that Ramban has on the pasuk in the third Ali in Shlishi. So the Chumash says, Yitzchak dug a well, and he gave him a hard time. He digs another well, and he gave him a hard time. Finally, he digs a third well. The Yachba Beracheres. And finally, he was calm then, so he called it Rechovos. Vayachba Beracheres. Veloi Rabba La Yikashma Rechovos. So the Rishonim had a tradition over here that this is a remez to the three Batei Mikdashos. I don't know exactly why they assumed like that. That's a tradition. I don't know. Maybe it's a medrash, but they don't tell you. They had the Shaloh quotes, Shaloh is a likud. So the Shaloh on this pasuk quotes this, and some of the Rishonim al Torah have this same comment. That the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the third one is going to be Rechovos. That's going to be peaceful. So what were they fighting about? The Ramban discussed over here. What were they fighting about? His avodim dug the well. So what are the others fighting about? So the Ramban gives an interpretation here, which the Mishkan is Yankif makes a fuss about. Ramban says that there was a river nearby, and the river belonged to the Plishtim. So when Yitzchak's avodim dug a well, and they found water, so the Plishtim said, that water is from our river, so you're stealing our water. So he went away, so he dug a different well, so they said, you're still stealing. He went further away from the river, he's still stealing our water. So the Mishkanes Yankiv says, we have two dinim. If a person is tamei, wants to be toivel in a mikveh to become tahor, so the pasuk says, ach mayan abor mikveh mayan yihye tahor. There are two ways to become tahor, either by being toivel in a mikveh, by being toivel in a mayon. And there are several differences halacha lemaisa between a mikveh and a mayon. One of them is that a mayon is mentar bezoichlin. A mayon means if you dig in the ground and the water shoots up from under the ground. And a mikveh is if it's rainwater or melted snow. So that's only mitar b'yashborin, a shever. If you have a crack in the ground and the water is stagnant, that's the word mikveh, that the water is covered with kaima, the water is stagnant. The opposites from each other. A mayon only has the status of a mayon if it's mayim chayim, if it's flowing. When it becomes stagnant, it only has the status of a mikveh. A zav has to be tovel davke in a mayon. A zav is tovel in a mikveh is no good. All the other tamim can either be tovel in a mikveh or be tovel in a mayon. And a zav davke needs a mayim chayim. So a mayon has to be not from rainwater and not from melting snow. It has to be from under the ground source. Yeah, but all. There's a water cycle, the Gemara says. The Tanoim knew that there's a water cycle. All the water comes from the rain. So what do you mean from underground sources? So that's the question. How, if the rain falls into the ocean, or you have the snow is melting into the ocean, so that's a mikveh, and then that's only mitar b'shever, b'yeshborin, if it's stagnant. If it moves under the ground to a different location, and then it shoots, then you dig a well, then it shoots up, then it has a din of a mayan. It all originated from the rainwater also. But if you're not taking it directly in the place where it rained, it moves a little bit over. So that's a shaila. How far do you have to move away from the river? So the Mishkan HaSyankif is machmar then. He says, if you're going to dig a mayan right near the river, and it's going to shoot up, the water's going to shoot up. He says, he holds like the Plishtim. He holds like the Plishtim against Yitzchak Avinu. That's the water from the river. That's not the water. That's Zeichlin. So that's no good. He says you have to move far away. Shalas, how far away does it have to be? So that's what he works on. How far away do you have to dig the well that it should not be considered an offshoot of the river, that it should be able to be declared as Be'er Mayim Chaim? Here it says, Vayimtzu Sham Be'er Mayim Chaim. Why lono hamoyim? Because they claim it's not a bear mayim chaim, it's not a mayim. They claim it came from the river and it's theirs. So until he finally moved to Rehovot, Rehovot is apparently far away from a river. I don't know. It's far away from all the rivers. So then he dug a well. So that was his well. Shai. Then we have the whole story about the bracha. That Yitzchak was interested in giving a bracha to his son Esav. Yeah, which bracha did he want to give him? So when you read the end of the parsha, he gives the Birchas Avraham to Yaakov. That wasn't he wasn't fooled into anything. After Esav pours his heart out that my brother Yaakov fooled me again by Akvein Ezef Amoim, and Yitzchak realizes that he made a mistake, he gave the bracha to the wrong child. So then he tells Yaakov, you should go get a shidduch, kum lech badeno aram beise besol avi imecha v'kach lecha misha misha v'bnei slob anachi imecha, and the Ribbono Shel Olam should protect you. V'it lecha as birkas Avraham l'rishtuch aseres mugorecha. So that he wasn't forced into giving that to Yaakov. Why didn't he give that bracha to Yitzchak? That's what the Beis Halevi on Chumash has a famous comment, that there were two different brachas over here. The Birchas Avraham means the Yiddishkeit, the Kedushas Yisrael. Today we have a principle of Mitoso Shleimo. From Yankif on, if a Jewish man marries a Jewish woman, so all the children are Jewish. And before the days of Yankif Avinu, it wasn't so that Avraham Avinu had a few children, and some of them were Jewish. So Yitzchak was Jewish, the other was not Jewish. And Yitzchak had twin sons from the same woman, mamish twins. One was Jewish, one was not Jewish. From the days of Yankov Avinu on, there is no such thing. That's called Mitos Shleima. All the children are Jewish. So that's the bracha that Yitzchak gives Yaakov, Yidlachas Birkas Avram, the Kedushas Yisrael should go to you. The Kedushas Yisrael carries with it, Lirish Tichas Eretz Megarecha, Ashonasan Lekim Le'Avraham. Whoever has the Kedushas Yisrael gets Eretz Yisrael. Esav did not have the Kedushas Yisrael, so he wasn't going to get Eretz Yisrael. And that's what he told them, that's what Yitzchak told Yaakov, you have to marry a Jewish girl, because this is all one big package deal. The Birkas Avram, the Kedushas Yisrael, that entitles you to have Eretz Yisrael, requires that you shouldn't intermarry. That was the whole package deal. It says in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, so the Gemara in the end of Yivam is Bafkuf understands that they weren't allowed to intermarry. So that's what Yitzchak tells Yaakov. You're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish girl. You're going to get Birchas Avram. You're going to get Eretz Yisrael. So that all along, the Beis Halevi said, that all along he intended to give to Yaakov. He just, Yitzchak only intended, he wanted to give Mital HaShemayim and Shemani Horetz, he wanted to give him the blessing of Gashmias. He decided they'll give, the Yiddishkeit will give to Yaakov, and the Gashmias of Olam Hazeh will give to Esav. So that's what Rivka held, that's not a smart idea. You should give the bracha of Mital HaShemayim and Shemani Horetz, you should give that also to Yaakov. That was what the whole debate was all about between Yitzchak and Rivka, whom to give this brach, the brach of Gashmis to. But the Birchas Avram, there was never a debate about that. Yitzchak always planned to give to Yaakov. What exactly is a brocha? A brocha is not the same as a tefillah. The Sfarno Achumish emphasizes this in a few places. A tefillah is when you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of someone. I asked the Rabbanu Shalom, give this person a refuah, see to it that he should find a shidduch, he should get a parnasa, he should have happiness. That's a tefillah. A bracha is, if I say, Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, I'm speaking to the person. I'm not speaking to the Rabbanu Shalom. I'm speaking to the person. So that's why the din requires, well, I don't have in my power to give a bracha. It means I'm asking the Rabbanu Shalom to give him a bracha. But instead of speaking to God, I speak to the Basav Adam, Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha. So that's why the din requires Kosvachas Bnei Yisrael Amor Lahem Kodem Hamadaber El Chaveiro, that when the Kohanim give the duchening, when they give the bracha, they have to be facing Panim Keneged Panim. They have to face the Tzibur, and it's not proper to for someone from the Tzibur to turn around. The bracha won't be chal if they turn their back to the Kohanim. Some people are so concerned that they're going to look at the Kohanim's hands, so they turn around, they turn their backs to the Kohanim. Usually the women upstairs do like that. They know that it didn't, that you're not allowed to turn away. The Gemara says that the Birchas Kohanim is chal on the Amsha Basoda, so it's chal even on the people who don't show up in shul. But those who show up in shul and turn their backs to the Kohanim, said they're lower, they're not even considered like the Amsha Basoda. The Gemara says they don't get the Bruch. You have to face the Kohanim. Here, the Svarna points out the problem was that Techena Einov Miros, the Yitzchak couldn't see well. So when he's going to give the bracha to, he thought he's giving the bracha to Esav, it turned out that it was Yaakov. So he says, Kshonu Eilai Ushkoli Bini. He says it should come closer, because you have to give the bracha upon him, connected upon him. You have to have a tzirup between the Mavarach and the Mizbarach, so he couldn't really see him well. The same thing when Yaakov was giving the bracha to Yosef's children. So he says, Kochem No Eilai Bavarach, and bring them closer. The closer they are, so the more the bracha is chal. That's what the Sfarnu explains. Mezoisa bracha sheberach Moshe Isha Elokim is Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give a bracha to the Jewish people. So part of his bracha was he gave a bracha to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabban Shalom didn't want that the bracha should be 100% Bikuyim. Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha that Eretz Yisrael should be secure Yonah Vodich Yomecho Davecho. Just like in the early years of the Medina, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Eretz Yisrael was very secure. So too, Uchi Yomecha, the early years, Dovecha, the late years, in old age, the Medina should always be secure. So the Baruch Shalom didn't want that part of the bracha should be Mekuyim. He wanted, if the Jews will sin, he wants to make a churban of Medina Yisrael. So the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not going to let him cross over the yard and give the bracha from up close. If he gives it from up close, then the bracha will be chal b'chol tokfoy. He said, you stay over here on this side of the yard, and he gives the bracha from a distance. So the further, the less tziruf there is between the mevorach and the mizbarach, so the less the bracha will take effect. And the closer, the more tziruf there is, it's panim keneged panim, and it's closer, so then the bracha will be stronger. So that's what happened over here. The Yitzchak wanted to give the bracha to Esav, he thought it was Esav. So he asks Yaakov to come closer, he wants to give him the bracha. Gishono Ashkoli Bini. What good is a bracha betoys? Toys is a mevatel kol atarkul. A man makes kiddushi toys, it's not chala get betoys, it's not chala neder betoys, it's not chala. Sometimes you need a hatoris and dorm to the bezin should declare that it's a toys. But a lot of times the neder falls apart by itself. If it's an outright toys, the Mishnah has a case. I come into my house and I see people are eating up all the food. And I didn't have a chance to see who it is yet. So I get so angry. So I make a neder. I ask for all the food on all the people there. That's also a neder. I can ask for my food on other people. Then when I finally come into the room, I see, oh, it's my father and my brothers. Oh, it's the family members. It's okay. So the mission says you don't even need a hataras and dar. That's obviously a mistake. If it's an outright mistake, I thought it was a different person. It turns out to be people whom I would want to eat my food. So that's a neder b'tois. You don't need a hataras and dar. If it's a tois and lahabo, I took a neder and I wasn't thinking, this is going to get me into big trouble later on. I didn't realize how bad. I knew it's going to be a problem. I didn't realize how great a problem it's going to be. So then the Bezin asks me, if you would have really realized how difficult it's going to be to observe this neder, would you have taken the neder? So if he says, in all honesty, no, I would have never taken, if it's true, so then the Bezin says, mutalach, we declare that it's a neder b'tos. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. But sometimes it's outright neder b'tos, you don't even need a hatoris Bezin. It's a mistaken identity. So what's over here? Yitzchak gives a brocha thinking that it's Esau, turns out that it's Yaakov. So the brocha is chal b'tos. Isn't toys mevatel things? Kol atarkula, whatever needs does. So toys is mevatel. So mistama, what you have to say is exactly like that. Whatever needs does, toys is mevatel. Whenever I'm the bailam to create the chalois, it's my food, and I have a right to make a neder to aser on somebody. It's my house. I have a right to decide to sell the house, to buy the house. It's my life. I have a right to marry the girl, not to marry the girl. I'm married. I have the right to decide to give a get. So if I gave a get by mistake, I gave kiddushin by mistake, since it's the das habailim, I have a koyach habailis to make kiddushin, to make a get, to make a kinyan, to make a neder, so tois is mevat lemaisa. Shad, what about a brocha or a klola? A brocha is up to me, what I control the world. A brocha is really tefila to Ribbono Shel Olam, but instead of speaking to Ribbono Shel Olam, I speak to the bas of Adam. So, shipanim keneged panim, up close and so on. But basically, as it says by Dech Birchas Kohanim, V'soma Shmina B'nai Yisrael V'ani Avorchem. The Baruch Shalom says, the Kohanim will recite the Psukim, and I will give the bracha. The Baruch Shalom gives the bracha, not the Kohanim. The Kohanim don't have in their control that Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha B'mamon, what they're going to give money to the Tzibah. They're giving the Tzibah a bracha that the Baruch Shalom should give them money and happiness and so on and so forth. So since the one who gives, whenever you give a bracha, the one who gives the bracha, same thing, a klola. A klol is also like a tefillah that the Ribbono Shel Olam should punish you for what you're doing. You're doing something not fair, so God should punish you. So a bracha and a klol is really up to. The Mishnah says if hamakal chavera b'shem is like, if you curse someone, you don't say b'shem Hashem, you don't imply that the Ribbono Shel Olam should curse him. So who are you? So the klol is meaningless. It's only a klol. Hamakal chavera b'shem Hashem. If you say God should punish you, are you alluding to the fact that God should punish you? If he doesn't mention shem Hashem. A bracha and a klala means the Ribbono Shel Olam should give it. So since the one is pronouncing the bracha, the klala is not really the bailam on the chalois. He doesn't control anything at all. He just makes a declaration. He's really a tfilo. So then, perhaps tois is not mevatel. That's a shaila by chalitza. The din is that you cannot make a tanai by chalitza. Why? So the Gemara says because that's how in the yeshivas. That's how they learn. Milsa leisa b'shlichas leisa v'tanai means I'm not the Bailam on the Chalois. I do the mitzvah of Chalitza, and then Memela, the halacha says the woman is permitted to remarry. It's not the same as get. Get is a kinyan. The husband decides to make the kinyan of shtar. Sometimes we'll pressure him we'll force him to give the kinyan. But get is a kinyan that the husband is a Bailam on. He's married to his wife. He has the Bailas to decide or not to decide to give the get. Chalitza is not a kinyan. Chalitza is a mitzvah. When you perform the mitzvah of Chalitza, so the Meila, the halacha says, the woman is permitted to remarry. She's not allowed to remarry until she performs the mitzvah. Once they did the mitzvah, finish. What's the din? Let's say the fellow is going to make chalitza. He says, this chalitza should only be effective if the Yavama gives me $100,000 within the next month. If she doesn't give me the money, so the chalitza should not be effective. So the Gemara says that Tanai is batlam mevutlam. The chalitza is good. She's permitted to remarry. Tanai is not binding. Why? Because you're not a bailim on the chalais. You're not the one who controls the whole story over here. Kiddushin and gittin is a maisa bailis. You need das ha bailim. So you have a right to be matal tonight. But chalitza is a ma'isa mitzvah, it's not a ma'isa violence. So that's why he can't make it tonight. So there's a big machlekes, the Rambam and the Rashba. What if there's a chalitza that was made b'tois? I did the chalitza. Mamish not realizing what was involved. Do you still say the chalitza is mata the woman lehinasi lashuv? Or do you say no? Even though you don't need das bailim, he's not a bailim, but still tois will be mevatla ma'isa. Even don't need das bailim. So that's a shaila. If you hold that chalitza b'tois is kosher, so then we can understand the parsha. Even though Yitzchak thought that it was Esav, he didn't think that it was Yaakov. So the brach of Yitn Lecha was chal anyway. But if you should assume that that tois is mevatla ma'isa, even if you don't need das, tois means not called the ma'isa hodim at all. So then, what good was the bracha? What good was the bracha? That's what Rivka told her son. He was Yaakov was afraid. So the mother Rivka tells him, what does that mean? If your father curses you, so I'll accept the curse. What I mean, you have a right to accept the curse. So Rashi tells you to look in the Targum Onkelos. I was told b'nevuah that nothing is going to happen. Nothing did happen. Not that the curse should be chal on me. So she tells her son Yaakov that she got a nevuah, that this is the way the Rabban Shalom is going to do it. Okay, so Rabban Shalom said the bracha will be chal. Well, whatever the din is by chalitza is a machlekes. But over here she was told b'nevuah that the bracha given under these mistaken circumstances will be chal on Yaakov. Even though Yitzchak thought that it was Esau. Rashi quotes a famous comment from the Medrash. V'yitn lecho ho elokim mital ha-shamayim. Elokim means b'midas ha-din. So the Rabbanu Shalom has a double standard of judging the world. The Jews only get if they deserve. They get b'midas ha-din. They don't deserve, so a lot of times they're not going to get. Sometimes Rabbanu Shalom bends over backwards, but we have the Gemara in Brochas. How can I not be Nosei Ponim Yisrael? They go out of their way. They recite Birchas HaMazon, even though they didn't need Kedei Sviya. But basically, usually the Hanukkah is V'yitn Lecho Elokim B'midas Adin. If you deserve, you get. If you don't deserve, you don't get. But then, in Tfilas, Rashi quotes it from the Medrash. Im Roi Lecho Yitn Lecho V'malav Le Yitn Lecho Aval Eisav Amar Mishmane Hotzi Yem Moshevecho Bein Tzadik Bein Rosh Yitn Lecho. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he offered a long tefillah that's recorded in Sefer Melochim, and then it's repeated in Divrei HaYamim, practically word for word. There's slight shinuyim there. So he offers a tefillah that when the people come to pray, when the Nochri, Eretz V'Choyka, when the non-Jew comes to pray in the Beis HaMikdash to God, so the Baruch Shalom should answer their prayers even if they don't deserve. That's what Rashi points out. Even if they don't deserve, because if their prayers are not going to be answered, they'll say the whole Beis HaMikdash is a fake. The Jews know the truth. So if the Jews are going to pray for something, they won't be their request won't be granted. So they'll assume that God has a cheshbon and we don't deserve, so he's not going to give us. But the Nochri will not make such a cheshbon. So that's why Shlomo HaMelech says, if a Nochri comes to pray in the Beis HaMikdash, grant his request, even if he doesn't deserve it, that he shouldn't say that the Jewish religion is not authentic. So that's what Rashi says. It's a medrash. That's a double standard. That the Rabban Shalom judges the world in two different ways. He's more strict with Bnei Yisrael, because the Jew is not going to become an apikaris if his wishes will not be granted because he doesn't deserve it. He'll be tailored that he doesn't deserve it. That's why I say, Yitn Lecho Elokim B'midas Adin. When Esav came back, and Yitzchak says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Esav. I just brought all the food for the bracha." And he realizes what happened. So Esav starts to scream. Yitzchak tzoka gedola mor ad miyot, starts to scream. You got to give me a bracha also. He's so concerned, the world is coming to an end. So then Yitzchak tells him, "What can I do?" And gvir samti buf. And gvir samti vloch. I gave him everything. So the Netziv, has a footnote in his commentary on Torah. He quotes a medrash on Megillas Esther that over here Rivka was told b'nevuah, Elias Amar b'nevuah, she was told b'nevuah that this is the way it has to go. Yeah, but he's fooling the father. He's telling a lie. So sometimes he got no choice. Sometimes he say, Chatei b'shul shetiske. A lot of people say, in Judaism, we don't subscribe to the principle that the ends justifies the means. That's not true. Every legal system subscribes to such a principle. If your wife is having a baby on Shabbos, you're going to drive it to the hospital. You're going to call the doctor on the telephone. Everybody, every system agrees that the ends justify. The only question is which ends and which means. I want to make a yeshiva, so I'm going to steal money from the federal government in order to make a yeshiva. So that, those ends don't justify those means. The pikuach nefesh is deicha kolat torakula. So those ends do justify the means. The pikuach nefesh is not deicha, but is ogil rash v'chazdam. So those ends do not justify those means. It depends which case. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So here there is a principle. Every legal system has exceptions to the rule when the ends do justify the means. It depends which ends and which means. So the Rivka was told b'nevuah that this is the way it has to go. Yaakov has to fool the father, has to aggravate his brother. His brother was aggravated, screaming. But that's the way it has to be. So this is, in a certain sense, this is a b'chinah chatei b'shul shetiske. He's told he has to do this avera in order that it should come out the mitzvah in the end. So the Gemara has certain cases we do say chatei b'shul shetiske, in certain cases you don't say chatei b'shul shetiske. Depends how big the chet is and how vaday the schus is going to be and how great the schus is going to be and so on. Gemara has different klalim, when it applies and when it doesn't apply. So that klal of chatei b'shul shetiske, the Gemara calls in Nozir around Afchof Gimel or so, the Gemara calls it gedol aver l'shma. That's called an aver l'shma. When you do an aver l'shem shamayim in order to be zeichet to a mitzvah in the end. So aver l'shma has to be l'shma. If a person gets personal pleasure from doing the avera, that's already not called lishma. That's what the Gemara says, that when Yoel Eshes Chever Hakeni killed Sisera in Sefer Shoftim, so it says Ben Ragleo Karana Fal Shachai Ben Ragleo. I forgot already the whole pasuk there. So the Gemedrash has a tradition that she slept with him. She was an Eshes Ish. She was sleeping with this guy Sisera in order to put him to sleep, in order to chop off his head, in order to kill him. So what was the heter for an Eshes Ish to be Mizana? So the answer is in the Shulchan Aruch it says, for Hatzolos Klal Yisrael. For Hatzolos Klal Yisrael, even though normally Gili Arayis is never permitted even Mamakam Pikoach Nefesh, that's Pikoach Nefesh of an individual or a group of people, 25 people. So you're not allowed to violate Gili Arayis to save a group of 25 people. But to do Gili Arayis to save all of Klal Yisrael, that is allowed. That's how the Poskim quote from the Sadeshan, the Piskei Mari, I think from the Piskei Mari, that Esther, according to the tradition, Esther was an Eshes Ish, she was married. So how does she sleep with Ahasuerus? So they say, because for the purpose of Hatzolos Klal Yisrael, it was permissible. So the Gemara, they rest the Kasha, I go, Kamisanya me Avera. How is it permissible, Avera? Lishma is mutter. Avera Lishma is only if you don't, Lishma means you don't get any personal benefit from it. But over here, Yoel Eshes Chevra Keni, she was sleeping with Sisera, so doesn't she get out Noah? So where is the Avera Lishma? That's the Chevra Yishalo Lishma. So the Gemara says she was not Nene. So that's the problem. The Nitziv claims that was the problem over here. Yitzchak, that Yaakov and Esau were always competing with each other on different things. So when Esau realized that he just lost all the brachas, that Yaakov cheated him, so he starts to scream, Vayitzak Tzaka Gdola Morad Miyo. So Mistama Yaakov felt a little good in his heart. I finally got him. He lost that on all the brachas. My mother outsmarted. My mother Rivka told me, go dressed up, make leave on Esau. So because there was a little bit of a personal sense over here of Shaloi Lishma, so that's why the Jewish people had to have a kapara for that in later generations. So in the Megillas Esther it says that when Mordechai heard about the Gzeirah Ro against the Jewish people, that Haman is going to kill all the Jews, so it says that some kind of a lashon like that. So the Medrash puts the two together, that was what we had to suffer, that was the kapara for the fact that over here, So Tziv explains that he thinks that that's what's going on here. That the heter to violate the Aveir of Sheker and to cause aggravation to his brother Esav was based on the principle that sometimes we allow Aveir Lishma, but that has to be, Chatei Bishvil Shdiska has to be an Aveir Lishma. But if there's a little bit of Shalom Lishma mixed in, then you got a big problem.
In the case of Chatei Bishvil Shdiska, is it considered as if he didn't lie at all then? Because as Yaakov is considered Titan Emes Leyakov, it's the pillar of Emes, so that's what we based on. So if he doesn't lie, how could we see him as Titan Emes Leyakov? It's really the definition of Emes. Or is it considered that? Because if he didn't lie at all.
No, it is a lie. It is a lie. I don't know exactly how the two fit in, but it is a lie. Whenever you have chate b'shul shetiska, it's not the same as esed dechalai ses. Esed dechalai ses is hete gomer. But the duchu yehutra doesn't make a difference, it's hete gomer. But chate b'shul shetiska, you're always going to need a kapara. If he's going to do the chet shalo d'shmo, then you'll need even a bigger kapara. But in every case of chate b'shul shetiska, Tosis points out anymore, you need a kapara later on. There is no heter. It was sheker. He did do sheker, and he did cause aggravation to his brother.
But there can't be enough from the tzavot. Just from the heter.
At the time that the person does the chet, in order to lead chatei b'shul shetiska, in order to lead the big mitzvahs, he has to be careful that at that time he shouldn't get hanor from the chet. Later on from the tzavot, he will get hanor.
Oh, so the tzakan gola is from the tzavot, not from the chet.
I don't know, here the Netziv interprets this medrash that at the time that he, that Esav was aggravated, so Yaakov was a little tickled by it. He had pleasure from that. As his brother was aggravated, he had a little pleasure from that. So that took away from his Avera Lishmo. That was really not so much Lishmo. He had a personal Pania involved over here. Then Yitzchok gave a bracha to Yaakov, he should go find a good shidduch. V'hayiso lekehal amim. Mazeh, v'hayiso lekehal amim. That the Jewish people is going to develop into Shvatim. He had Yud Bei Shvatim. The Baal HaTanya quotes a passage from the Zohar on the Pasuk when Yitzchok requested of Esav that he should prepare food for him. He should go hunting. You should cook delicious food the way you know that I enjoy eating that kind of food. So the Zohar points out, why Vaseli Matami tells him to go hunting and make me a steak? What does he need Matami? So the answer is, what do you mean? When you sit down, you just eat the piece of steak. First you have soup, then you have fish, then you have the steak with vegetables and with salad. Then you have dessert. You have all kinds of things in the middle. You don't just give the main course. You have matamim, a variety of different things. People enjoy the variety. So just like the Zohar makes such a comment, just like human beings appreciate variety, matamim, so too the Rebbe Shlomo appreciates variety. And appreciates the fact that the Klal Yisrael is supposed to have a little bit of variety. Not the, we have now 1,000. Every Siddush Rebbe does Avodas Hashem totally differently. And every yeshiva is totally different. The Rebbeinu Shlom wanted to have 12 shvatim. So he wanted each shevet should have a bezin shalosa shevet, and that bezin should paskin for that shevet. That's the pasuk in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim tov tidlecha lishvatecha. So the Gemara says that bezin lechol shevet for shevet. It means that every shevet should have its own bezin agodol to paskin on behalf of that shevet. So each shevet is going to have a different hanhoga. So that's just like human beings appreciate variety, matamim. So too, the Baruch Shalom appreciates variety. He wanted that originally there should be different drachim and avodas Hashem. That's what the Gemara says, that sometimes we have the right to declare that elu v'elu divilekim chayim, that all the different drachim and avodas Hashem have validity. Halacha l'maaseh, you have to make up your mind. You have to figure out which is the psak that you're going to follow. You can't just say, everything is good, you can do whatever you choose. Sometimes we say like that. We had it in the Gemara. Mevorach ala ptisim. So Rashi says in Yirtza, you're gonna not every single sneeze of the way. You gotta do a dafka like this and dafka like that. Sometimes you can decide whether you want to have fleshiks and milchiks. Sometimes you may decide. But there are a lot of halachas where the halacha was decided already. So you don't just say elu v'elu, do whatever you want. But there is a concept of elu v'elu. We discussed it a lot. the end of the parsha, you have Esav as a character. Yitzchak tells his son Yaakov he should go marry a Jewish girl from the family. So he follows. He follows like people following the letter of the law, but clearly not following the spirit of the law. So he says, oh, the father wants we should all marry from the family. So he goes and he marries a nice Jewish girl. Machlas bas Yishmael ben Avram. Yeah, aneinikol ben Avram. Aneinikol ben Avram. But the girl's father is Yishmael. Agoy Gomer. So what do you mean aneinikol ben Avram? That's not what Yitzchak meant. There are a lot of people who follow the letter of the law without following the spirit of the law. That people who follow the spirit of the law but not following the letter of the law is also not good. You got to follow the letter of the law, but the letter of the law should be observed in accordance with the spirit of the law. Maril Diskin is quoted as having pointed out that there are two readings over here. How do you pronounce the girl's name? Whether it's Mochalas or Machalas. So according to one tradition, the pronunciation is Mochalas Milosh and Mechila. So this is the source of the idea that a chosen gets a mechilas avayna. Chosen kalu, get married, get a mechilas avayna. That's such a Yerushalmi and Bikurim. That a gershin is garin, mishoel elegdula, a chosen kalu, get a mechilas avayna, is based on this pasuk. And the other pronunciation has it that it's not mochalas, it's machalas. So there's no source at all in this pasuk from mechilas avayna, and machalas milosh machla. So that's why Rashi quotes that medrash also. He married Machalas al Nashov lo liyisha. Hosef lo risha al rishasai. He was previously married. Esau was married to all kinds of ruchas roes before this one. Then he took this one and was also a witch. It was also a machla. Hosef lo risha al rishasai. So the question is, there are really two pronunciations and there are two different midrashim, two different versions of what the correct pronunciation is. If you mispronounce it, it's not like a toys that's not Mishana Sidya. It's a ganzen a different name. It's Gansen a different name. Is it Mochalas or Machalas? So that's what they quote from the Maril Diskin. Maybe you should learn twice. Maybe you should say the Pasuk twice. It's in Mafta. So some have the practice that when they learn Shvi, they pronounce it one way. When they say it over for Mafta, they pronounce it the other way. So the question is, so then the Shvi wasn't Yotzei, the Mafta wasn't Yotzei. So what did you gain over here? The Balkar is Yotzei. The Tzibra is Yotzei. We heard the both possibilities, but the guy got the Aliyah. Mafta only has three Psukim. If you would have had four psukim, it's the Dali Hacha, the extra pasuk. You got only three psukim. If you mispronounce one of the names, the chor, that's a toys that is Mishana the Yin. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Medrash on the pasuk. Vayigdulu hanorim ahi Esav ish adzeh tzayid ish sad of Yaakov ishtam yoshev aholim. So the Medrash has a comment. It calls man that the children were young. It wasn't noticeable. They were doing the same thing. They all went to elementary school. They were all taking tests. They all played in the baseball league. Everybody did the same. And then when they became bar mitzvah, yigdalu, they became gedolim, then it became obvious that he's going to be a learner and he's going to be a hunter. He's going to lead a different style of living. So the Medrash says, v'yigdul hanorim, when they became bar mitzvah, then the father said the bracha, bracha p'tiranim yonshu shalzeh. So then each one, it'll be obvious which direction the child is going to be leaning. So this bracha doesn't appear in the Gemara. So that's a shad. When you have a bracha that wasn't composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, so we assume it's not right to recite such a bracha. We spoke the other day, me and Malgros Hashem, Yashmiel Kol Tehillos. The shad is, who says that this wasn't composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? Because it doesn't appear in the Gemara. Baruch Shema doesn't appear in the Gemara either. But we assume that they... There are lots of brachas that don't appear in the Gemara. We assume that they used to recite all these brachas. The Gemara is not a siddur. The Gemara is a sefer abdinim. It doesn't have to say every single bracha listed out. So maybe this bracha existed in the days. It's a bracious rabbi. Maybe this bracha existed in the days of the Tanaim, days of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, just that it's not recorded in the Gemara. So that's a problem. How do you deal with this medrash? Most, the Vilna Gaon says you should say the bracha with Shema Malchus, and he assumes that this bracha was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the same as all the other brachas. He assumes that Bereishis Rabba is an authentic source. And it's a valid record of what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed. And most assume not so, that we don't know how to deal with this matter. So we say the bracha B'li Shema Malchus, no? When you'll be blessed with bar mitzvah children, you'll have to decide what to do. When Esav realized that his brother Yaakov cheated him and he got the brachas, So he says, Yikruvu Yimei Evalobe Bahargas Yankevachi. So the Pasha Pshad, usually we assume he didn't want to hurt the father's feelings. So he said, I'm going to wait till the father dies. I don't want my father to get a heart attack. I'll wait till the father dies, and then I'm going to kill Yaakov. That's why we usually learn Pasha Pshad. And others say, not so. That's our Bitzala of Alojina, says. They have in the back of this, on the back of the Netziv's commentary, so they have the commentary, it's called Pekodesh. I think these are the comments of Rabbi Tzolov Alojin, the son of Rab Chaim Alojin. So he says, he thinks maybe you have to read the pasuk. I don't care if my father gets a heart attack. Yikruvi me'eva lovi. I don't care if he gets a, I'm going to kill my brother even if the father drops dead from that. In Yiddish, they used to say, in Yiddish folklore, they used to say, he's going to wait till the father dies, and then I'll kill a brother, so he won't have to sit shiva 14 days. He'll be, I'd say, the two shivas with 1 week. So that's a machlekes in halacha, is that correct? There's a din in the Zeris. There's a Mishnah Nazir that if a guy, he says, Harini Nazir starting from now. Then he says, Harini Nazir when my wife has a baby boy. My wife has a baby boy tomorrow. So I have to observe 30 days in the Zeris because my net in the Zeris today. Then I have to observe in the Zeris 30 days when my wife has the baby tomorrow. So you don't say they're overlapping and you only have to observe 31 days. 30 days started today and then another 30 days starts tomorrow. Yeah, you'd say, he killed two birds with one stone. So the Mishnah says he can't do that. That's called a malos. A malos means when you're superimposing zmanim on top of the luach, and you can't have the same 29 days ola for this malos and for that malos. You have to wait till the first 30 days of the first net in the zeros is up, then you observe the second net in the zeros. So the Sama Shadim say the same is true regarding avelos. Avelos is also a malos that's superimposed on the calendar. So if a person is sitting Shiva for one relative, another relative dies in the middle of Shiva, so the Martai quotes that Shaila, Machlekes. No, we're Mekel on that. We're Mekel. So that's what he said. Wait till the father dies, and I'll be Yotze the two Shivas with one. Yiddish folklore, they had their own interpretations on a lot of the truth. We have a minute that when one gets married, so the Chasen Kala fast, if they're up to it. And then they say Vidui on the day of the wedding. And then the Chasen wears the Kittel under the Chuppah. And all of these are based on the assumption that the Chasen Kala get a Mechilas Avinah. So in order to help the Mechilas Avinah, so he should fast, he should say the Vidui, and the Kittel is like on Yom Kippur, when we're getting Mechilas Avinah. So we have Minhagim based on this assumption, that the Chasen Kala get Mechilas Avinah. But they only fast if they're up to it. If they don't feel well, they don't fast. I was at different weddings where sometimes the Chasen fainted under the Kala, under the Chuppah, sometimes the Kala fainted under the Chuppah. It was ridiculous. It ruined the whole simcha. I remember Rabbi Lifshitz, Zechan Lebrach, whenever he would come to a wedding, the first question he would ask was, did the Kala have something to eat yet? He wouldn't go himself into the Kala's where the women are, but he would always send a shliach, make sure the Kala has something to eat. He was always nervous, the Kala's going to faint under the chuppah. But sometimes the chasanim are the weak ones, so this minute to fast is only if one is up to him. Yeah, in America, we're not used to fasting. Europe, they didn't have so much food anyway, so they're always fasting anyway, so a big deal. So you fast the whole day. America, we're so used to eating, so if a person goes fast, he may eat that cafe.
I tried to mention the kittel. Some people wear the kittel on the knees, some people wear the kittel on top.
Mm-hmm.
What is the whole
asik
underneath or on top? Which one
is more? They say it's a Yom Mechilas Avonis for him, it's not for the public. So some say that's why you should wear the kittel under his coat. To cover it all. Now they say, what's a big deal? Everybody knows that he's a chassan. So it's not, it is only personal, but it's still, it's public knowledge. Okay, how many people coming to this special Shabbat home? Somebody will be there. Okay. Good? Okay.